Man, if we are to become disciples of Jesus, the Master himself tells us to take up our cross and follow him. I'm Brian Patrick as we continue our series on becoming disciples, following Jesus, this time on Crossing the Goal. As we kick off our show on becoming disciples, this time following Jesus, let's meet the Crossing the Goal team, the Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, from FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, and our coach, the former All-Pro NFL wide receiver and coach, Danny Abramowitz. And we've been praying for those of you who prayed with us at the end of our last segment on knowing Jesus, a beautiful prayer led by Curtis Martin.
You know, Brian, I think it's so important for us to just take a moment to see where we're coming from and then move forward. Because as we try to make the argument, we really started at the very beginning of the Catholic faith to recognize that Catholicism is not essentially a moral program. It is essentially a relationship with the living God. If we miss this step, we really have a hard time sorting everything else out. So this is really key for us.
Yeah. I think the basic battle out here for a disciple is, are we going to follow the ways of Jesus Christ or are we going to follow the ways of the devil? Yeah. Or evil. And it seems as though we're abandoning the Christian principles out here and following the world, the flesh, and the devil, which we know leads to destruction and loss of souls.
Yeah. I mean, following from last week, what you're saying here, Danny, is last week was about a decision to respond to Jesus' call to say, come follow me, and I'll lead you to eternal life. And then when we say yes to that decision, then what Jesus does and what this show is about, he gives us new power, new capacity to respond to him through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to be talking about. He empowers us to be able to follow him.
Yes. Men are used to being in the lead.
Right.
Too good about following. But we have a game plan for following Jesus with Peter and Curtis next right here on Crossing the Goal.
Amen.
Hello, I'm Curtis Martin. I'm back with Peter Herbeck, and we're talking today about the fundamental need to follow Christ. But this is an art. There's a process to this. Exactly. Yeah. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It's more than acknowledging that he's got certain teachings. How do we follow Christ?
Yeah. I mean, Paul describes it as, he says, to be Christian means to walk by the Spirit. We talked about last week making that decision to respond to Jesus' invitation to follow him. And then he says, I'm going to give you a new capacity, a new power to do that. For example, at the last words Jesus had before he ascended to heaven, he was meeting with the apostles before he ascended, and what he said was this. He said, he reminded them, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but before many days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then he goes on to say, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses. So the last thing he wanted to say to them, to remind them, they were totally convinced that Jesus was who he said he was. They saw him rise from the dead into new life, and the new creation had begun in him. So they were convinced, they were dialed in, they were ready to go. And Jesus said, no, you need to wait, because you need power from on high. You need my Spirit, which I'm going to impart to you when I go back to the Father and sit at his right hand. I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit and empower you to live a new way of life, because you can't do it on your own. We're not talking about willpowering our way forward.
Because something happens, Peter. I mean, you mentioned this right now. Jesus has risen from the dead, but in a certain sense, they're still huddled in an upper room for fear.
Yeah.
And then something happens at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is released upon them, and they're a different group of men.
Yeah.
I mean, they really have become transformed in some way. How do we tap into that power?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I mean, if you just look at Acts 2, they're sent out, and the way Pope John Paul II described it at one point was that when the Spirit came upon the apostles, he stirred their deepest energies and he thrust them out. And he said that new relationship with the Holy Spirit creates new dynamism, new power, a new capacity to respond to all that Jesus taught and all that Jesus was calling us to do. So just as we said, Jesus, we want you to be the Lord of our lives, we also pray every day, come Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to release all of his gifts within us. And Peter proclaimed the Lordship of Jesus in Acts 2. And as he was proclaiming it, calling people to make Jesus the Lord of their life, the scripture says they were stirred inside to the heart. And they said, what should we do? Peter says, you should repent. That's what we talked about last week. Turning from the direction you're moving in, turning now toward Christ and having Him as your focus. He says you repent, be baptized, that is literally the waters of baptism, to receive the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus came to deal with the sin problem, which produced the death problem. So the waters of baptism connect us with Jesus' power to do that. And He said, if you do this, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And everyone who's been baptized has received that gift, but the recent popes have said for many Catholics, they live their whole life long sort of unconscious. The gifts they've been given by the Holy Spirit that Peter talks about here, say, lay dormant, untapped, untouched. And just as we need to invite Christ to be Lord, we need every day to say, Holy Spirit, lead us and teach us to walk by the Spirit.
I think there are a lot of men out there who will look at our political leaders and say, why don't you do more or do different? Why? And then our church leaders, why don't you do more?
Yeah.
But listen to this. These words to me from our Lord are amazing. They're breathtaking. John chapter 14, verse 12, he says, Jesus says this, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. What Jesus is essentially saying to each one of us is that if we were to yield to Christ, if we were to turn to him and allow and open ourselves up to the working of the Holy Spirit within us, that we would begin to be the solution to the problems in front of us. We don't have to sit around and say, why don't you do more? Why doesn't he do more? It's, God, you've called me to do more, to be more, to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to transform me to be a radically different person. That's why this first step of turning to Christ and yielding to the Holy Spirit, if you skip this step, then we're always going to be lagging behind.
Yeah.
We're never going to have access to the power source we need.
And then Christianity becomes moral striving or willpower. I mean, what we want to communicate today is Jesus is not just a cheerleader saying, try harder. Just keep trying harder on your own willpower. Jesus is saying, you know what, you can't do it on your own power. But if you come and entrust your life to me, I will give you a new power, a new capacity to live a different way of life. And so we get up each day. Get up each day and begin the day, Holy Spirit, come and lead me. Help me to walk in Jesus Christ today. Conform me to the image of Jesus and learn to hear the Spirit and listen to the Spirit deep within our heart, who will teach us about the Father, about God's love for us, and He'll change us as we walk step by step with Him.
This is so important to recognize. This is not a moral exercise. There's a moral exercise component to it.
Yeah.
But I remember when the Pope John Paul II released his document on moral theology, and Cardinal O'Connor from New York, God rest his soul, was giving a press conference to receive this wonderful document on theology, moral theology, and the people in the press were complaining, saying, we thought the church was going to tell us about morality for the world, and this is just Christian morality.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to say? This is not global morality. This is Christian morality. And the cardinal didn't miss a beat. He said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to preach Jesus Christ.
There you go.
Because there is no voice from the church or the rest of the world apart from turn to Christ. He's our message. And we have to recognize this is such a personal issue. I know for me in my life, when I look at trying to do the right thing, and I stumble many, many times, but it's not an issue of moral excellence so much as it is as personal loyalty.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've got to be men and women who are going to stand up and live for Christ out of personal loyalty and allow the Holy Spirit to bear its fruit in our lives. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter. Wow, the Holy Spirit's really at work here, Coach.
Wow.
Gave some wisdom to our boys over there.
Yeah, I guess we got to follow them young whippersnappers down into the red zone.
Right. That's next. You're on Crossing the Goal. Let's go, Coach. We're in the red zone on Crossing the Goal. This time we're talking about following Jesus on our series on becoming disciples. And in order to really follow Jesus, we need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But guys, you know, our relationships are usually with people. Now here we're talking about some intangible, seemingly intangible, Holy Spirit. What does that relationship look like?
Well, the Holy Spirit opens up for us who Jesus is and teaches us about the Father. Like if you say in Romans chapter 8, it says, the Spirit of God within us cries out, Abba, Father. The Spirit convinces our spirit that God's our Father. He gives us knowledge of God. I experienced that when I was, I'd say there was a time when I came into a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. I was invited to a conference at the University of Notre Dame, go Irish. But anyway, at this conference, there was great preaching. The priest did a great job. And at the closing mass, I went to communion and I was praying really hard, because I already made that decision that we talked about. I said, Lord, I keep stumbling. I'm afraid I don't have the power to live the life that you want us to live. And I kept praying, Lord, I need that kind of faith and love, and I need to know you better. I came back to my seat. There were about 33,000 people in the stadium at this conference. There were about a dozen bishops, hundreds of priests and stuff. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just praying in earnest. And this is no joke. Guy comes up to me, taps me on the shoulder, looks at my name tag, and he says, Peter, he says, I'm sitting back here about six rows waiting to go to communion. And while I'm going, all of a sudden my eyes fall on you. And I felt the Holy Spirit stir in my heart. This guy, no one ever talked to me that way before. And he said, and the Holy Spirit wants me to come and tell you that the faith and love that you seek shall be granted to you because Christ loves you and he's died for you. And as soon as he said that, it just like my heart just burst with the sense of God's love. And I grabbed this total stranger and I just started weeping and weeping with joy. It wasn't just his words completely, it was God acting in my heart and the Holy Spirit showing me. And I will never forget, I had a sense that Jesus was risen, that he's Lord and that he knows me. And it doesn't matter that I'm weak and stupid and dumb. He's strong enough and he's gonna take care of it for me. He's gonna give me what I don't have. And I went home and I tell you, it was like that, you know, when you're in a river, in a boat, and you go into a lock and it lifts you up. I felt like my Christian life changed. I was at this level and I came out of that weekend and I was at that level. Now, it's not that I didn't stumble and fall, but it changed me. I started loving the Word of God in a new way and had zeal to share him with others. It just started changing me.
Yeah, but it started with your prayer. You asked for that.
Yeah.
And the Lord quickly gave you that answer.
You do. You have to give the Holy Spirit permission. And I think this is the beautiful part about what the Christianity teaches us, Brian, is that it, at first sense, the Holy Spirit does seem like an intangible force, and yet we're told he's every bit as much a person as the Father and the Son. And we can have that personal relationship, and in the midst of that, to pray the way we would with anybody, just to talk to them and say, I need your help. The one difference is we don't talk to others the way we talk to God, and that is, I am exactly as you said, Peter. I am dumb. I am weak. I am stupid. I fail. But you are strong. You are merciful.
Yeah.
You have complete control of my life. Take me wherever you want me to go. Yeah. And then try the rest of our lives not to fight back when he leads us.
Yeah. I started thinking about myself. You were talking there. I said, how could I or anyone else follow Jesus Christ, living the life that I was living? I was living in sin, and I just totally ignored his ways. You know, I'm going to do what I want to do. And then all of a sudden, you know, I come to the conclusion, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to change. Lord, please, please help me. And I was guided to a group of wonderful people to a Life in the Spirit seminar. I had no clue what it was. And Life in the Spirit seminar basically is that you allow the Holy Spirit to work, the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life, in all phases of our life, from the smallest to the tallest. And once I went there in that seminar, that I realized that the Holy Spirit is my power, that I don't have to rely on myself, that I don't have to live that kind of life anymore. I don't have to be despondent. And aggravated and confused and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I still get confused. The older you get a little confused. But I trust now in the Holy Spirit and everything that I do. That doesn't mean that I have it all together. I mean, I got battles all the time. But every day I go to, it's not like I do it sometimes when I feel like it. I go to him all the time.
And Danny, like you, the 12 steps kind of introduced me to this idea of surrendering my own will and coming to believe that a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. That power is the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Yes.
But in order to get to that place, I had to surrender my own will and my own belief that I could fix it, I could take care of myself. Yeah. In totally giving up, I was empowered then by the Holy Spirit to do whatever needs to be done.
Yeah. You know, Pope Benedict XVI said last year, maybe a year and a half ago, he said he prayed that every baptized Catholic could experience again, he said, the grace of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. He said, like Acts 2 or Acts 1, what we're reading, that is really the experience of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord through the power and the help of the Holy Spirit. He said, because you remember, he said, you know, the reason Jesus came was to give the Holy Spirit. I mean, the reason Jesus died was to free us from sin, but to pour out the Holy Spirit, Pope Benedict said, so that we could live differently and we could come into a new way of living.
Well, you quoted in John, I think, it said, you'll do greater things. I'm going to send you my Spirit. I got to go.
What an amazing statement that is for Jesus Christ to say, it's actually good that I go.
Exactly.
And we know that the reason he left was so that he could send the Spirit. And so it's good, an even better thing for him to send the Spirit so that God can reign in us and transform our lives. We're not talking about, I need to try harder. We do. We're all in. We have to try all we can. But our efforts alone will never get us where we need to go. I have tried so many times to overcome the weakness inside of me on my own. I can't do it. I just stumble and fall and kind of revel in my misery. But when I turn to Christ, and here's the other step, guys, and we're going to talk about this in the upcoming shows.
when I turn to Christ in prayer and then turn to my brothers and say, how can I help to find other men who are also yielded to Christ, who also yielding to the Holy Spirit, and say, guys, I need to be accountable. Yeah. And then God has done something mystical, amazing in my life, and things that I couldn't walk away from and get rid of have just disappeared.
Well, I love your story where the Holy Spirit was given voice through this man that you had never met.
I mean, the recent popes again, John Paul said, you know, open yourself to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's what this guy was open to a prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I thank God, he was just a normal guy from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'll never forget his name tag, you know. And he just came and shared with an impression he had on his heart. He said, basically saying, son, God heard your prayer. He loves you. You're going to be okay.
Exactly.
He'll never leave you.
Right.
You're his. You're his precious son. Bam! When he said that, it was like a sword went right through my heart and opened me up to a whole new reality. And you know.
And you started thinking back. Let's think back of guys that you know.
Yeah.
In their life, when they allowed the Holy Spirit to come into their life.
Yeah.
They've changed it. Not only there's a change that is temporary. This is forever. It'll change your life. Yeah. You'll go back. You cannot stand what I stood for before. I can't stand it. I could never go back. I don't ever want to go back that way. And it's in the long haul. If we did ask the Holy Spirit to come in, and you look at guys like Ralph, your partner.
Ralph Martin.
Ralph Martin.
Father Mike Scanlon. Yeah,
all these guys, they're doers. What happens is they were beat down and whipped down sometimes in their life, but they turned their life over, and with intelligence of those guys, we're just using them for example. Yeah. Look what they've accomplished. Look at the emails we get in here, and they say, I lost, how can I do that? And we sound like a broken record. We always say what? Turn to the Holy Spirit. You can't do it yourself. You got to turn to this, and then turn to your brothers. That's the Holy Spirit leading you to that. So we have to call upon the Holy Spirit daily, and He will come to help us.
So brothers, if you would join me and all of you out there to join us right now and just lift up a prayer to the Holy Spirit. You may know this prayer. If not, just follow along with us. If you do know it, you can word it with us as well. The prayer to the Holy Spirit as we pray in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructed the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolations. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Come, Holy Ghost, Creator blessed, and in our hearts take up thy rest. Come with thy grace and heavenly aid to fill the hearts which thou hast made, to fill the hearts which thou hast made.
Come, Holy Spirit.
We pray for each of you that the Holy Spirit would fill your hearts. We're in the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal on our show on becoming disciples following Jesus. We'll go to the email bag also next in the end zone on Crossing the Goal. Made our way into the end zone here on Crossing the Goal on our show on becoming disciples following Jesus. And before we get the last word from our Crossing the Goal team on our topic today, let's go to our email bag. Greg writes, how do you set goals for yourself? Aside from hoping, praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, he says, how do you set major goals for yourself, career, financial, personal, etc.?
Well, I think, first of all, Greg, what you need to do is sit down in prayer and have a sheet of paper there with you and put down the various areas of your life and then just start writing down various goals that you want to attain in each one of them. Take your time. You're in no rush to do this.
I think in a certain sense, Greg, you're asking the question about the virtue of wisdom. And the virtue of wisdom says, ask this one question. Let's begin with the end in mind. Where do I want to go? And then the next step is to seek counsel, to go out and find wise people, maybe good books, and read about that. Take that counsel to prayer, and then choose boldly and implement.
And make sure the people that you talk to not only have the goods themselves and are wise, but that they know you. They know something about you, the gifts, the talents, and what God's put into you to help discern what you ought to be doing.
Yeah, I believe that God puts a desire in our heart because He has called us to something. I got that call when I was 19 years old. I wanted to be a DJ so I could spin records and have fun. And now I host a Catholic radio show on the EWTN Global Catholic Network, the Sunrise Morning Show, and then get to be with you
and
guys.
You're at the top of the mountain now and crossing the goal, man.
You know, but as a young kid, I would have never known that that was God calling me. So I would just encourage you to open yourself to what God is calling and listen to what He's put in your heart. What is it that really gets you going? And then follow through with that and take the next step forward. All right, let's do one more email. This is just really a comment from Sally. You guys will like this one. She says, great show. I am the only churchgoer in my family, but I receive great encouragement from your show.
Thank you very much.
Good job, Coach.
I hope that you'll receive encouragement. As we get to the last word now on becoming disciples, following Jesus, we turn to Peter.
I just want to make one very simple exhortation, taking a tip from John Paul II, who had said that his father taught him when he was 10 years old to pray a simple prayer to the Holy Spirit every day, inviting the Holy Spirit to be in his life. And he was 80-some years old, and he said, I've prayed that prayer every day of my life. Look where it got him. Pray that prayer as well.
No, and to recognize, in a certain sense, it's this process of welcoming Jesus Christ into our hearts, and then allowing the Holy Spirit to radiate His power and His life back out through our lives. That docility in the hands of Christ will make you the Christian man you want to be.
All right, man, did you do your assignment last week? Don't kid old Coach. Did you read the Gospels and find out to learn more about Jesus Christ? If you did that, great. If you didn't, get on the ball. Now, the second one I want you to do the next 7 days, I want you to go back to those same Gospels and find out the ways of Jesus so you can follow Him. The ways of Jesus Christ, not the ways of the world, the ways of Jesus Christ, and follow them.
And if you run into any trouble during the week and you need some help, just email the coach, right?
Right.
Through crossingthegoal.com.
Exactly.
And you've got some great resources on there from our previous shows with questions for small groups. So we want you to visit crossingthegoal.com and get that information and stay in touch with us on Crossing the Goal. Next time, as we continue our series on becoming disciples, we'll talk about how this is not meant to be done alone. Called to communion. Next time here on Crossing the Goal. Here's our Crossing the Goal team from Renewal Ministries, the Vice President, Peter Herbeck, and from Focus, the Fellowship of the Catholic University Students. You know, let me do that again, please.
His name's Curtis.
Peter Herbeck. Yeah. Man, if we were to become disciples of Jesus, sorry about that. it's the other foot that has to go down first. Okay.
They can Brian can demonstrate what would happen when you miss a fundamental step. It is not a pretty picture.